The Legends with 888 Sport. Whatever your sport, take them on. Bet now. Gamble responsibly.
This is the home of red and blue banter and debate. Call now. 0151 472 0967. It's The Legends. On Radio City and Radio City Talk.
Welcome along to The Legends for Thursday night. I'm Steve Hothersall. No John Aldridge tonight. When I was doing the correct thing and leaving Aintree earlier, so on grand opening day, John Aldridge was going back into the bar while I was coming out of the bar. Mark Lawrenson's here instead. Sharpie, are you surprised by this behaviour from John Aldridge?
No, not at all.
Tell you what, though.
Was he going back in to pay or just going back in?
Pay? I don't think he paid all day.
That's a proper gig then. Yeah.
Another man drowning in a glass of red wine was our producer, Dave.
I'm not surprised at. You know, that was obviously for nothing. Because I'm still waiting to get a drink off him.
I have to say it would be a big glass if he's drowning in it.
I have to say, it's brilliant down there. Anyone who's heading back today, I would imagine loads of you in your cars listening as you leave Aintree. I hope you've had a good day. I didn't win an absolute bean, but I hope you did if you're listening. You're heading down there on Saturday.
Yes, I am.
Saturday. Top seat for Sharpie in the house. Right, loads of footy to talk about. Give us a shout over the next hour if you want to get your opinion across on anything red, blue or white. Brilliant stuff for Tranmere midweek. Not quite the same for Liverpool and Everton. Both held to draws, of course. The Man United game for the Blues. Liverpool against Bournemouth. Same old weaknesses. Whatever you want to talk about, give us a shout. 0151 4720967. 4720967. It's the Radio City Legends with 888 Sport. Please gamble responsibly. Who wants to? Should we start with Everton? Everton being the first game this week.
Well, yeah.
Disappointing end.
Disappointing. Matt was at the game as well. You know, it was a decent game to watch, kind of thing. You know, Manchester United huffed and puffed, but I thought Everton had a big improvement from the Derby performance. And just wasn't to be at the end. You know, they were putting them under a lot of pressure, a lot of long balls into the box. And you just thought, can you hang on long enough? But it was a penalty. It was definitely a penalty. It was a sending off. I thought the referee overall was poor. Probably got to talk about referees later on in the show. But no, I think a point to Manchester United, I think they probably got to come away with a little bit of disappointment. You know, having led and thinking this could be our night to finally lose in the last seconds, you know, or lose the goal in the last seconds. They'll say they deserved it for the pressure they put us under.
Nah, they didn't.
I thought Everton did well. I thought Everton did better.
Everton won a better team.
Yeah.
And to be honest with you, when they broke in the second half, both, well, Lukaku and Barkley, they made better situations from what they had. Got a second goal, that would have been it.
Yeah. They're toiling. The crowd are restless.
Honestly, Sharpie, what about when Ashley Young, when he made the substitution,
yeah,
and he went, Ashley Young suddenly went, he went to left back, he then went back to right back. It was,
yeah.
I have to say, in the second half for a super coach, Mourinho, I think six of his players didn't know where they were playing.
I think it's odd that Wenger's getting it in the neck, but no one's talking about Mourinho.
But what about his comments with the boy Shaw? Schoolboy error.
Oh, that's a fine.
That's our producer still drowning in his glass of wine.
Yeah, that's a fine. Normally, your phone on when you're broadcasting. Yeah. I always heard.
Can't be accepting those calls.
And he's had a go at Luke Shaw again. You know, saying that I played the game for him. You know, and you're thinking, leave it alone. You know, didn't have to come. He's just keeping it going. And I don't know, but listen, we were disappointed just to take a point because I thought overall it was a far better performance than we showed against Liverpool. So there was a positive reaction. But the one thing I'd have to say was surprised really on the manager's substitution, taking off Kevin Morales. Morales came off, he wasn't too happy getting dragged off as well. And rightly so, because I thought he'd done well. He brought on the young boy Calvert-Lewin, who found it difficult to say the least. I thought Morales at least looked a threat.
Yeah.
When he was there, and so that was a disappointing thing, and I think a lot of people were mystified by the substitution.
Tactical error from Koeman,
it looked too much for the kid, didn't it? He had quite a bit of the ball when he came on, and he just couldn't protect it, could he? That was the first thing, so it just looked like it was, whoa, I'm at Old Trafford, but listen, he's got ability, hasn't he? And you learn from your learning from your mistakes, not from your good bits, isn't it?
What about the so-called old-timers that started at Old Trafford, but not in the Derby? Was that basically the team that should have started in the derby at Old Trafford. I say Old Time as in Barry and Jagielka.
Jag's stuff in the derby was okay, but Gareth Barry, you know, people come on and slaughter him and say, I hope he's not playing, he's too slow and all that. Gareth Barry's got experience, bundles of it. He knows how to play the game, knows in position. Yeah, listen, at times he can get exposed if he's left there alone and people go past him at ease, he'll probably get a yellow card. But experience-wise, big games, he manages them well. I thought he played well the other night as well. Should he have played in the derby? Yeah, I would have played him.
I would have played him as well. With no Snyder in.
Yeah.
All day long. Yeah. Especially when you got, even if you're still playing some of the other kids, because he'll talk to them. Mm. That was the other thing. Now, I was really surprised with Everton insofar as they had young legs and you know, those kids that were in. But they never really put Liverpool under any pressure. It was a strange way. Mm. All right, you know, I can understand the way they tried to play and the idea of, but they just sat off Liverpool. Mm. It was a real strange performance that.
Yeah, it was a little bit bizarre, wasn't
it? For a derby, Steve. Yeah. Think about it.
What about the Reds then? This week, obviously, last night, all our teams. So Tranmere get a late winner. Everton get a late draw, and Liverpool get a late draw. It felt like a defeat for Liverpool last night.
You know, for the first time, I think you could question Klopp with the change that he made. All right, Coutinho's got to come off because he feels sick. And they suddenly went with back three, which was really a back five. And they just surrendered all the space in midfield, which I thought was really, really strange. Because if, you know, in modern day football, if you command midfield space, you've got the ball. And they were already 2-1 up. I just thought it was a little bit strange. And I really do have a problem with this with Matip's not fit to start, but he can come on as sub.
Daniel Sturridge the same. Yeah, on the bench, not fit to start.
You're fit to start. You know, if you're fit to sell, you could come on after a minute. What if Clavano or Lovren gets injured? Well, Lovren, I think, got a knock anyway. You come on with it. I don't get it.
Oh, Lord, it's all this blue zone, red zone, green zone, if you're in that
O-zone.
Zone.
Yeah,
O-zone.
Yeah. But you know what I mean? I just, you know, obviously we played the game many,
so
many
played
years
Matip.
Ago. All day long. Yeah. Well, flipping it. I mean, the two of them never lost. When the team's never lost when Lovren and Matip play, have they? I know they drew 2-2, but I'm saying he's better chance of managing the game. You're 1-0 down, you get it back to 2-1, just manage the game. But that's our little soft centre again, isn't it, I'm afraid?
Mm. There were some low points in the game as well. Gini Wijnaldum's back pass, of course, which lets Bournemouth in. The goal in the final minute was sloppy as well, wasn't it?
Yeah.
But there were some positives. Coutinho, despite being ill, showed those glimpses of brilliance again.
Coutinho, in the last two or three games, has started to look like the player that was around for the first three or four months. And the good thing is, it affects his mate as well in a positive way, Firmino, you know. So, no, that actually was a good thing. Origi got another goal, etc. But you know what? When you look at us with two or three out, our squad is so thin. It's quite easily the most thinnest squad of the top six, easily.
How many players this summer then for you, Laura?
I think you need six.
A lot of players, isn't
well,
it?
It's a load of players, but and I think you need six just to basically flesh out the squad because you know, some of the kids, to be honest with all the kids at the moment, apart from Alexander Arnold, you know, I don't think too many others are ready. Yeah. Well, they're not ready, even Woodburn's not ready yet. Not ready,
interesting. Both our sides bringing in youngsters. Let's go to the phone lines and take some calls on the Radio City Legends with 888 Sport. Please gamble responsibly. First up, Gary. Evening, Gary.
Hi, you, Steve. You okay?
Good, thank you. You're through to the boys.
Okay. All right, lads.
Hi, Gary.
Sharpie, I was going to talk about what you've just mentioned earlier about the substitution, Mick Morales.
Yeah.
I thought he was outstanding, one of our better players on the night.
Well, I thought so.
And I was shocked, as he was, for him to come off. And it just changed the whole pattern of the game for me because we were coping quite well. We could and should have wrapped it up, but my other point was the movements. When you look back at the breaks when Barkley broke on two or three occasions, Lukaku's movement was awful. I'd expect me forward to be running into space, but he was just sort of trotting.
They had a couple of occasions, Gary, when we broke, and I'll tell you what, there was one when Lukaku broke. Once he breaks, he's got nobody else. He's got blinkers on. He doesn't see anybody else.
One in the first half with Morales on his right.
Exactly, and he doesn't see anybody else. And, you know, there's one in the second half. Ross struggled to keep up with him. But if he'd have looked top, he could have played Ross in, and Ross had a free running goal. Mm-hmm. So he's blinkered in that, saying as soon as he gets a ball, he thinks, right, I've got to take. Now, listen, there's nothing wrong, you know, when you get up against somebody and try and go past them, get a shot. And I'm not blaming him for that. But a little bit more football intelligence would have put other people through. But the Morales, I thought Morales was our best bet on the break. You know, yeah, and especially absolutely. Especially the couple of occasions we had after he went off, when it came to Calvert-Lewin and Lukaku, where they miscontrolled it. You know, in that situation, I thought the Morales could have punished them.
Yeah, definitely. So I think over the two games this week, I think Koeman's got to shoulder most of the blame for me.
Well, I think I think the Derby game was really, really disappointing. You know, and the manager can take his fair share of blame there. And, you know, we talk about situations where should Gareth Barry have started or this kind of thing. But I just thought the team on Saturday were poor. You know, you can blame the manager. The team have got to find it themselves to put in a better performance than what they showed. Last night we got a reaction from them, from the team. But again, you question the substitution with the manager. I agree with you there.
Yeah, no, I agree about Saturday. But for me, I mean, the team he started against United was the team he should have started against Liverpool. And I'm sure most people were expecting that team.
Yeah.
You know, so the kid's frozen and you know, there were senior players on the pitch on Saturday that were poor.
Yeah.
But, you know, that can have a knock-on effect from the feeling of not knowing you're not in the game because of a team selection, I think.
Yeah, listen, Gary, you look at the team and I think you're right. I think everybody agreed on Saturday that there was too many kids in it. And, yeah, whilst it's great to see the kids coming through, sometimes there's a right time to put them all in together. One or two, maybe, but we had four on a Derby game, which is really, really tough on them. But as Mark said before, hopefully they learn from that experience. But last night, I thought he got Tuesday night, I think he got his system right with the players he put in it when he had Holgate at right back, where I think he's better rather than a wing back. I don't think he knows that position.
No,
Sunday's going to be interesting because Holgate, I'd imagine, would have to go into the centre alongside Jags and then maybe play, I don't know, John Joe Kenny or somebody at right back. I honestly don't know. Don't know what the situation is. So, got a few problems, and Leicester are on the up as well. You know, great results. So it's going to be a tough game for us Sunday.
Right, Gary, was the keeper 100% better than the Derby?
Yeah.
Oh, he was 200% better. Yeah.
It was a funny one, that Derby performance, wasn't it? Mm.
Absolutely. He just didn't make an effort for any of the goals, did he? He just stood on his feet. So, yeah,
didn't want to get his gloves dirty, Gary.
Give him credit. You know, he definitely turned up on Tuesday night.
He did. He was strong. He came for crosses. Yeah. He was decent, Gary. You know, yeah, decent performance from Joe Roberts.
Because you thought they might have swapped him, didn't you, on Monday night?
I thought they might have dropped him and put him on Stecklenburg. But I thought against United, I thought he did well. I thought he did okay.
Just a quickie on Lukaku. Everyone overanalyzes this lad. So I've heard lots of reports about the United game. Some saying he was lazy, you know, didn't try hard enough. I'm looking at this one. This one in the Echo
maybe
says...
Against Liverpool, he might have been lazy.
It says, more dynamism in the opening 10 minutes here at Old Trafford than the entire game at Anfield. A response was demanded and he delivered. Was he excellent, was he? Did he show...
I wouldn't say it was excellent. It was like 100% improvement. Yeah. He was involved in the game without the ball, which is like he's a centre forward with his strength because he's a beast, which was something that you needed to put the centre backs under pressure. He was just he played though like when he had the ball like a young footballer, as in inexperienced, as Sharpie said, because he never ever got his head up and saw what was around him. I think he just thought, I've scored however many goals I've scored this season, and I'm going to score again tonight. So you know, and whatever happens to him at the moment, everyone's saying that if he gets sold, he'll go to X, Y, and Z. I don't think the big teams is ready for any of them yet.
Not done enough to get sold to a big side.
Not a top Champions League team. No, not yet.
Gary,
you're buying promise.
I thought he was better on Tuesday. I've never been his biggest fan, I'll be honest with you. You know, there's a lot of aspects of his game that he still needs to improve on. For me, yeah, he puts the ball, but you know, he is a flat-track bully because he doesn't turn up against the big teams for me. So, you know, we get 70 million for him. I know it's hard to replace, but I've never been his biggest fan. So.
Thank you, Gary. Top stuff. Thanks for your call. Super stuff. 70 million. I don't think you get 70 million, do you, for Romelu Lukaku?
Well,
do you?
Let me tell you. What did Pogba get bought for?
86.
But was he not playing at the top Lukaku end of his game in Juventus who were getting to the end of the Champions League?
Scorer.
Lukaku's a goal scorer. Mm.
Listen, if you think about it, last year, the going rate for a good player was 30 mil. Mm. That's just for a good player. Mm. And you're not talking about a top striker. Imagine if Griezmann goes and leaves Atletico Madrid. Yeah. He's going to. We're going to have the first £100 million player in the summer. Mm. It's an absolute nap.
It's scandalous as
of course
well.
It's
isn't
scandalous,
it?
But it's what, a complete. It's a nap.
Yeah. Well, I was going to say, I was going to a break. I'm going to ask Mark after. What did he think of the Ashley Williams Lukaku spat?
Right, hang on. Right, we'll take a break because he won't answer that in 20 seconds. It's Radio City and Radio City Talk. It's the Legends with 888 Sport. Get more of your calls in. New callers always welcome. 0151 4720967.
The Legends with 888 Sport. Whatever your sport, take them on. Bet now. Gamble responsibly. Our Merseyside legends. Call now. 0151 472 0967. Red and Blue. Banter and debate. The Legends. Radio City and Radio City Talk.
We'll get more of your calls in just a moment or two. 0151 472 0967. Hope you've had a brilliant Thursday, whatever you've been up to, especially if you've been at Aintree today and you're heading back into town now, continuing a brilliant day out on Merseyside. Right, just before the break, Sharpie was saying to Laura, posed him a question about Ashley Williams.
Yeah, they had a little spat on the pitch. I was just saying, I was wondering if Laura had the same when he played.
Oh, yeah.
All the time.
When Super Kenny was player manager, me and Hanson used to have unbelievable rows with him. Really, really bad. Imagine some of the language. Because he was like, he wanted the ball into his body in a certain way. You having to try and bend it round three different people. And if you're a centimetre out, he'd deal with it and then play it on. And then he'd just turn around and give this volley of abuse. Honestly, Sharpie, seriously. The words that used to come out of his mouth. End of the game, if you wanted to come over, shake your hand and go, it's gone, it's forgotten. We've not forgotten it.
But yeah, how did you react to the abuse when Kenny's giving you it down the banks?
How did what?
How did you react to that?
Give him some back. That's the way it was, wasn't it? You could do it. And you could, you know, you'd used to have team meetings and it would get unbelievably personal. And, you know, people would be pointing fingers and, like, people get held back and all that. What do you expect with a load of blokes, you know, at that level of sport? It's nowadays, you can't say anything to anybody. It's frightening. It really seriously is.
Just they made a big issue of it because he held his fingers to his lips as if to say, shh, don't tell me kind of thing. And they made a big issue of it. And I'm thinking, is it that much? You know, is it that much? As Mark says, it goes on. Nowadays, you can't shout at people. But he was just frustrated, Ashley Williams, because I think the ball had come up and he hadn't got hold of it.
Came straight back.
And I think he tried to blame the kid. I think it was one of the kids that played the ball up to him. I think Ashley Williams is just looking after the kid and just to say, hey, look after it. You're better than what you're doing. Yeah, help the kid.
Right, a few other stories making headlines this week. Charlie Adams' corner for for Stoke against Billy. Is that the worst corner in history? Well, yeah, so what happened was he has two strides up to take the corner, but trips over the AstroTurf.
Yeah.
So then falls on his knee and then his shoulder bobbles the ball out of the quadrant and then he handballs the ball.
And they booked him for it.
Yeah, so actually, if he hadn't handballed the ball, I presume that was fine. The ball's in play, isn't it?
Yeah.
I've got a better one. In terms of Brian Laws, remember Brian Laws? Right back.
Burnley.
Yeah. Decent strike of the ball, playing for Middlesbrough. Missed a penalty, right? By, I'm not, 30 yards. Ruptured his anterior cruciate ligaments. But of course, punters didn't know. They thought he was lying there because they got you useless, whatever, right? And he was—I think he was out of the game for 6 months. It's just lying there; they're all absolutely mullering him, and he just tore his ACL. Gone, was out ages. Yeah, I saw him the other day. Actually, I asked him if it was true, and he went, "Oh yeah."
But he felt great about that.
He said my ears were bleeding and everything.
And talking about penalties that don't count, Matt Ritchie for Newcastle.
Oh, pathetic.
So the referee. So for anyone who didn't see this, so Newcastle get a penalty. He scores it. Yeah, he was a Premier League ref, isn't he?
He was.
Yeah. One of the other Newcastle players encroaches in the box while he takes the penalty.
Did he?
Well, it didn't look like it,
He didn't encroach.
It was Gale, wasn't it?
Yeah, he didn't. Yeah. He didn't encroach in the box. That's the whole thing about it. Listen, and so.
So the ref, instead of saying it should be retaken.
Yeah, so it's just the rule.
Gives a free kick to Burton.
Yeah. But he gave the goal first, didn't he?
Yeah, he did give the goal. And then he suddenly went, oh, hold on a minute. But you know that we were talking about this before me and Joe, you know, the worst thing. What were the three other blokes who are part of his team? What were they saying to him? Good decision, Stroudy. I think not.
Right. But the thing, say to Mark as well, what happened? Just say, for instance, that happened and they never won the game and they lose out in promotion.
Well, much, much bigger issue.
Well,
But also, you know, on the sidelines, you mentioned the other officials. There's Rafa going ballistic in an officials. Do officials just not listen?
Well,
if a manager's trying to explain that
to
they made a mistake,
Steve, the fourth official is it's the worst job in the world.
Yeah,
but you know, I think in any major sport, and football's the same. You just know sometimes when everybody goes berserk, especially as a referee, you've got it wrong. Yeah. It's like when a penalty's been given sometimes, and it's completely wrong. Maybe your boy didn't even handle it and wasn't there. You just know sometimes that something would tell you, hold on a minute, and that's when you're talking to your other mates, your officials.
Should have been he's went from the penalty area over to the linesman. What's the linesman said?
Yeah.
Well, surely the referee's saying,
well done, pal.
He said, well done, I've got nil-nil on Burton.
Yeah. Imagine him come over and saying, if Mark comes over and said, well, what's happened there? He said, well, I'm given a free kick for encroachment. Surely the linesman's saying, that ain't a free kick, you've got to take it again.
Yeah.
Or even the fourth official sitting there, surely he can talk to him and say, you've got that wrong.
On Sky today, they dug out when he refereed a game and somebody encroached. Yeah. And it's
good luck with that one. Video these days, isn't it? Right, 5 minutes to 7
o'clock. He's
doing
the Zingari League on Saturday. Yeah. He's in there.
The Radio City Legends with 888 Sports. Mark Lawrenson and Graham Sharp. Let's get the lines. Next up, we got Steve. Evening, Steve.
Hi, good evening, Mark. You okay?
Hi, Steve.
Hi, Graham. I haven't listened to the show. I've only just come on now, so I don't know what the other previous callers have discussed.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just going to go straight into it. I think, obviously, the game was a tight game, a 2-1. Obviously, Coutinho's been brought off because apparently he wasn't feeling too well or something. Mm-hmm. A bit of a bizarre one. But then we kind of just went on and held, trying to hold, you know, hold on for the lead at 2-1. They pulled themselves back into it. But it was really, my point was just about the top four, because if you look at the top four now, you've got Liverpool, you've got Arsenal, you've got Chelsea,
Tottenham, Man City.
You've all of them are faltering. And I think you wouldn't fancy any of them in any games at the moment. They're just,
that's not a bad point.
Everyone's just stuttering the way through, and I think whoever comes out the worst of these next 8 or 9 games, they don't even have to win. They could just pull a draw or sneak a win here and there. And I think anyone's going to flip this top four at the moment. Mm. It's looking that way, because no one looks dead on for it.
Well, the thing is, I mean, Chelsea are going to win it.
Yeah.
Tottenham have been brilliant.
I think Chelsea and Spurs are...
Chelsea and Tottenham are nailed.
Clear. Yeah. They've gone clear. City, actually, to be fair to City, I watched most of the game last night. They were better than Chelsea. But obviously Chelsea do what they do, which is they manage the game and they win. I just think with Liverpool, I was just saying to the boys before that, you've got to make a change and you bring Coutinho on. We're told Matip's not fit to start, but he comes on, and then we play with a back 3/5, and we just completely surrendered midfield to Bournemouth and gave them the ball. And it's I thought we just encouraged them to come at us, which for me just didn't work. And that's when, you know, we talk about having not a little bit of a soft centre. We have got a soft centre, I'm afraid. And somebody, one of the more experienced players, just needs to manage the game and say to the guys, come on, guys, Mark, we just don't concede.
Yeah, Mark, the next two games for Liverpool are West Brom and Stoke away.
Yeah, Stoke first, aren't they?
Two teams that you didn't want Liverpool to play against, it would be them two.
Yeah.
I am fearing for the worst, because I do think we have a soft centre. We do like to play pretty football, but we do rely on Mane. He's gone now. You're looking at the likes of Sturridge maybe coming back into the fold. We need him to have nine out of tens really till now to the end of the season. Yeah.
Well, Easter's soon, isn't it? So that's when miracles happen. Yeah. So we'll be all right.
little stat on Daniel Sturridge. Steve, just before you go there, how many games do you think Daniel Sturridge has played 90 minutes in this season?
Five.
He's appeared in 21 Liverpool games.
Three.
I think four.
It's three. Well done, Sharpie.
Oh, yeah.
Three times he's played 90 minutes. I mean, that's quite a poor conversion. It tells a story, doesn't it?
He could have played more, but I think Klopp's pulled him off trying to rest him. When really, you should be just trying to get every minute you can out of Sturridge. It's a matter of time, isn't it? Come on, I love the striker, but let's be honest, he won't be at Liverpool next season.
If they get a replacement,
you can't count on him. Klopp can't count on him, and that's just the way it is. But I think that top four now, it is really anybody's. Anyone that can pull together three or four wins from now to the end of the season, I think has got that.
So the two games coming up. So the two games coming up.
Stoke weekend
away
first,
and is West Brom away as well?
Yeah, West Brom and Stoke away. Sadly, I mean, couldn't handle two West games. Oh.
Yeah, have you seen the size of West Brom players as well? Oh my goodness me!
Well, you know, West Brom won't come to play, or won't go and play football even at home. They'll just set up defensively and try and get a set piece and score a set piece. That's what they do.
You don't fancy a game at the back of Liverpool, do you?
I'd love to. I can't even get down the stairs.
you're better than Clavan.
Is that really saying a lot?
Yeah.
He can't get down either. Here's another question. How many games have Liverpool won in the Premier League when Sadio Mane hasn't started?
None.
No, I can't.
Again, that's a little bit worrying in itself,
isn't it?
Quite a few, because Africa Cup of Nations.
Africa Cup of Nations missed a month, didn't he?
Yeah. I think the problem is, we've spoken about this before, but he is the only, I think, irreplaceable player that we've got. Mm. I think you can miss Coutinho, Firmino, but not Mane. We have nothing.
I mean.
We have nothing like him.
Firmino, they're all much of a muchness to technical players, but we have got a lot of technical players in the squad. We've got no one with natural burst of pace.
I mean, strength as well.
But he's not got the burst of pace that Mane's got. Nobody's got it. Nobody in the whole squad's got the burst of pace of Mane.
Well, listen, has he got 13 or 14 goals from that position?
Yeah, that's fantastic. Yeah.
I think he's been by the season. I can't think of anyone better than Mane, to be fair, in the Premier League. He's been bought this season. I don't know, Graham.
Yeah, you're probably right. I'm just trying to think.
Nias.
20 million
as well. the boy at Man City was probably the boy Jesus.
Sané's not in the same league as Mane this season.
No, but Jesus was a good player, and then he got the injury.
Yeah.
Steve, nice one. Thank you very much indeed.
Cheers, lads.
Cheers.
Thank you.
Just looking at those four, City, Arsenal, Liverpool, United, and you look at the money that City have spent and the money United have spent, really the pressure's on them.
Yeah, definitely.
To be in that top four.
Have you seen United? I've got all the top teams to play, haven't they? Definitely.
Yeah, some tough games coming up.
I'm pretty sure they've got Chelsea at home. They've got City, definitely. Mm. They might even have to play Arsenal, you know.
Mm. Could be a tough life for them. Liverpool themselves, it's the back page of the Mirror today. Liverpool's Champions League hopes suffered a hammer blow. But actually still with two games, even though Arsenal have got a couple of games in hand, you prefer to have the points, wouldn't you?
Of course you do, yeah.
I don't think it feels like Liverpool are in a bad position, does it?
It's just frustrating to be 1-0 down and flip it round and then in the end to lose 2 points. Mm. It's just really frustrating, isn't it?
Did you know Marley's injury was as bad as it was at the time? I think Graham Souness called it on the TV commentary. Was it obvious?
Yeah.
That he's
when he tried to stand up and he just fell over and thought, I can't move anymore. Yeah,
that was funny though. And the fourth official was trying to move them.
Yeah, and shifted him off.
The physio was giving him effing and jeffing and couldn't move him, could he?
So what do you reckon? 3 months? 2 months?
I saw a picture of him today with a big leg brace on. You know, it doesn't look good. That doesn't look good. I don't think he'd... Listen, you'd hope he's back soon, you know, for Liverpool and for the player himself, but it doesn't look good. It didn't look a good one.
Right, what a shame. Right, 3 minutes past 7 o'clock, the Radio City Legends with 888 Sport. Graham Sharp alongside Mark Lawrenson tonight. Give us a shout, 0151 4720 967.
The Legends with 888 Sport. Whatever your sport, take them on. Bet now. Gamble responsibly.
Football is all a matter of opinion. Share yours. 0151 4720 967. The Legends. On Radio City and Radio City Talk.
7 minutes past seven. More of your calls to come in a moment or two. I'm Steve Hothersall, Mark Lawrence and Graham Sharp in the studio. Before we go any further, a special mention to Tranmere Rovers, who refuse to lie down at the moment, don't they, boys?
Three points, aren't they?
Level on points.
But Lincoln with a game in hand. Got a game in hand, yeah. So the run, talk about timing, your run, absolutely perfect.
Yeah, brilliant.
Perfect.
Everybody expected Lincoln just to walk away with it, but obviously they had their cup run as well.
Yeah. Mm.
Maybe just taking their eye off that a little bit. But no, listen, Tranmere have come back because they had a few disappointing results and they've kicked on again. So, no, fair play to Mickey and the boys.
How many goals has Cookie got?
Oh, gosh, I don't know. Well, 21, we've been told by Carlos, our producer.
21.
But Tranmere are winning games by sort of solitary goals. I think they've got. I think Mark Palios was on the show the other day. I think he said they had the third best defence in the top five divisions. Not that you could really compare the Vanarama League to the Premier League, but.
But that's all right, because if you get in the playoffs, then that gives you a chance, doesn't it, if you're good defensively.
Good luck,
Chelsea.
Anyway.
Chelsea's like Chelsea in it in the Premier League. They've had quite a few 1-0s, haven't they?
But they know how to manage games, don't they? That's the infuriating thing with watching Liverpool sometimes, maybe even Everton at United.
That's what drives you mad,
just
doesn't
managing
it?
The game.
Nothing to do with ability.
Let's go back on the phone lines. The Radio City Legends with 888 Sport. And Paul's on next. Hi, Paul.
Hiya, boys. You're right.
Hi, Paul.
All good.
Sharpie, little thought. I mean, typical like lambasted by all the media and all that. I think Ronald's tested a couple of things this season and they failed dismally. Obviously, I will not slag the kids for the performance again in the derby. No. They were selected and didn't work. And the other one was obviously the Tottenham game. But at my honest opinion, I think that Gareth Barry's non-involvement in the derby was, I think he's had it in his mind that after two, with the mental psychology of not winning at Anfield for 18 years, let's rest him and let's get him full goals blazing, Gareth Barry, you know, for the United game. And that's the only thing I can foresee him not select them, you know what I mean? One little point, mate, and I agree with 95% of the things you say, and I know you love Morales. I love him. He blows so hot and cold, but the most infuriating thing for me, and I think, again, this must be looked on the training ground because other people are getting picked before him. There's an instance the other night where he knocked the ball in for a 1-2 with Rom and it broke down, and instead of breakneck speed, get back and like cover and backtrack your runner and all that, he was still applauding Rom for the attempt of having a knock. I'm like, your work rate's got to be there. And that's one of the things I can see the Koeman doesn't like, and that's the reason he has been picked more. But he is a threat.
Well, I think one of the first games when the manager came in and he played Morales, I think everybody reacted and thought, wow, the penny's dropped, because he's working back and he put in a really good shift. It was at Goodison, I can't remember the game, and it thought, well, good, he's getting an opportunity here. But the other night, I think in general, I thought he did well, Morales. I thought he was okay. Listen, I can be a critic as well, you know, when he doesn't do enough things and, you know, he blows hot and cold. But recently, I think he's done okay, and I think the penny's dropped with him. I thought he'd done okay at Manchester United. Okay, you highlight that situation. But I thought, in general, his play was good, and I could understand why he was frustrated coming off, because he wasn't the worst player.
No.
He didn't look as if he was tiring. You know, and I'm thinking, I just couldn't see that substitution. You know, and okay, fresh legs, a young boy, but the young boy has only played a few games. You know, and personally speaking, I'd have kept Morales on. If I was in Morales' situation, I'd have been disappointed coming off as well.
Sharpie, the other thing as well, as we talked about this before, they kept changing the fullbacks, Manchester United. So why not leave him on? Let him have a go at them. Just never happened, did it?
Yeah.
No, I agree with that, Sharpie. Yeah. I'm just saying, but you know what you said there? Like, he showed games that he can backtrack and support, even if it's a blind run, you know, just a token gesture. It puts players under pressure, doesn't it?
Yeah.
And I think he's a far better player than that. But I agree, going forward, mate, he can make something out of nothing.
Yeah.
And, you know, like, unlike the kids, and again, it's not slagging the kids, we've got to get the experience. We've got what we've got at the minute. And, you know, Ronald's got to try and get the best out of it. And I think you're right. I think Holgate on Sunday will be a right back, which will be more balanced.
How long's Morales been at a club?
Oh, God.
Moisey signed him, didn't he? So, but excuse me, has he not always been like this?
Yeah.
And he's one of those kind of players who can be brilliant and then drive you mad the next week. That's just the nature of the beast.
I just think at times when you play him out left and give him a role and say, stay there, I think you don't get the best of him. I think when he picks the ball up and he can go and he can go and join Lukaku and, you know, and make things happen, that's his best position. And I honestly believe, Paul, the other night, and Mark was at the game as well, I thought he was doing okay. And I honestly thought that if he'd have stayed on in the situations that the young boy got himself into, I thought Morales, if he was still on, would have made better.
Yeah.
Better use.
Oh, totally agree. Totally agree. Yeah. I'm sorry. It's just a point. It wasn't, you know, an observation. It's not a slaughtering lad, because I think out of the players we've got available, fit and ready, going up top now, he's the one who can produce something out of absolutely nothing.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? We know that, but then 9 times out of 10, it'll fall flat.
But Paul, don't you even think that with the substitution, I'm looking at who was on the bench as well, would you not maybe have even played Valencia?
Yeah.
And you know, he's come in and scored a couple of goals, and you're thinking,
yeah, he's a 20-minute player,
yeah,
isn't he?
And you're thinking,
that was his 20-minute.
I just couldn't see the reasoning on in the substitution. Listen, it's not for me. The manager knows better, of course he does. But I just found it
Sharpie,
a strange one.
If you think about it, I mean, what Koeman did, Klopp did the next night.
Yeah.
Exactly the same. Mm.
Paul, thank you very much indeed.
Cheers,
Paul.
Right, you know that big glass of wine that Dave Downey, our producer, drowned himself
in? He's drowned in it.
Yeah.
Well, somehow he's managed to find a taxi man who will take him home. And he's just texted me and he says, can you give Alan, my taxi man, a big shout out, boys? Because he's obviously sympathetic
Alan, good
enough.
Luck.
No.
Good luck, Alan, good luck trying to get him out the taxi. Yeah.
Check your carpets, by the way, as well.
And good luck trying to get the fear off him.
Yeah.
Alan, you've got the friendliest drunk, in inverted commas, that you'll ever meet. But,
and if he tells you he loves you, throw him out.
You're in trouble. Yeah.
He's telling everyone he loves him at the moment. If you're on your way back from Aintree, enjoy your night out in town. Right, 13 minutes past seven. Back to the lines. And Dave, Liverpool fan. Hello, Dave.
Hiya, folks.
Hi, Dave.
How is everybody?
Hi.
I just wanted to talk about Divock Origi, really. And to see what people thought about whether he's actually going to be able to provide the goals and the cutting edge that we need for you know, the rest of the season to get top four.
I would say, when you say goals, what are you saying, 1 in 2 for the rest of the season? Would you take that?
Mm. Yeah, I'd take 1 in 2 from anyone.
Hasn't he just had 2 in 2?
Mm.
Have I got that wrong?
Yeah.
I think he's one of them who's only going to get better, but I think he's still a long way from being the finished article. And I have a feeling that Klopp maybe just doesn't trust him as yet, which I think's a big thing with Klopp. But, you know, he's quicker than he looks, and he's strong. He's, in terms of finishing, he probably needs quite a few chances to score. But he's done fine, hasn't he? Hey, let's be fair. Either him or Daniel, which way you want to go?
Well, that was my point, really, about, you know, can we really rely on Sturridge, or are we kind of stuck with Origi, and then we can't rely on
Daniel Sturridge. And the other thing is, listen, Origi will work hard, both with and without the ball. He'll close people down. Is a little bit stronger, so it's got to be him, hasn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's probably good odds on him getting to be top scorer this season and passing Mane if he puts his head down and he gets.
How many has he got?
He's got 10 now.
Okay. Marnie's what, 13?
13, yeah. So
that'd be nice for if he did.
I'd take 4 between now and the end of the season.
Dave, would you keep Sturridge? Or do you think the time's up?
I think the time's up, to be honest. Yeah. I think he's let us down on a number of occasions with his fitness. And also, the last couple of times I've seen him play, good grief, I think it was in black and white, but he hasn't convinced me. And he looks like, you know, that I see snippets of a couple of seasons ago, and he just seems, you know, when people say that they've lost half a yard, he seems to have lost a yard and a half. Yeah. He just doesn't have the same sort of movement or the same speed.
The thing is, Dave, as well, is if you think about it, he's been out for so long, when he's come on as sub because he's hardly started, he's not really convinced you, has he? And he's not sort of
not
saying to himself, come on, this is my big chance. It's like, very wishy-washy, isn't he, Ben?
Where does he end up, Daniel Sturridge, if he moves on?
Somebody will take him. Because, you know, on the plus side, he'll score you a goal out of nothing, Daniel Sturridge, which is in itself is a great skill. But you can't rely on him. So he's got to go to a team who he's probably not going to play every week. So who's that going to be? And everyone thinks they get big money for him. I'm not sure.
Is it a West Ham? It's a team out of the top six, isn't it?
Oh, definitely.
It's incredible.
Definitely.
When you think of how far he's fallen. You know, when you look at that season he had with Suarez and everything was going well and, you know, wow, what a partnership this is.
Just shows you how good Suarez is.
Suarez still scored goals. Yeah,
Steven at the time.
And you're thinking it now and you're thinking, wow, it's a tremendous fall that he's had from being up there with England and everything else now to be most Liverpool fans saying, no, get red. You never have ever thought that the way he played a couple of years ago.
I think we need
Palace to come in and give us an enormous amount of money like they
Ben Takey.
Bournemouth, they seem to pay over the odds as well, so maybe he'll end up there.
Don't mention Bournemouth.
Dave, thank you. Good stuff. You mentioned Divock Origi. I think he's still got quite a bit to prove, hasn't he? I know he's young, isn't he? I don't think he's had the best season in many aspects.
No, but it's, you know what, Steve? It's difficult when you just come in for the odd game. It's just, you know, and he's still... I think he knows he's got something to prove, but until he has a run, say, of 10 games consecutive, it's very difficult to say. And you know what? Thing is, the manager and the coaching staff see him every single day, and the manager doesn't usually pick him to start a game unless we've got a few injuries.
How old
That's
is he?
Telling you.
How old is he, Lord?
That must be only early 20s, is
oh,
he
gosh,
not?
Oh, gosh, yeah. Yeah. He's very, very young. Let me get it up on Wikipedia.
And listen, I keep seeing this.
What did you know at 20, Sharpie?
Well, Lord, the thing is, as well, coming into a massive club, where he's come from in France, and he's come over to a massive club where the pressures are totally different. And
21.
It's not, 21. He's a 21-year-old kid.
Baby.
And he's come over and he's got all the pressure of trying to compete at Liverpool and all the pressure that goes with it. It takes time.
Yeah.
You know, the kid's going to have peaks and troughs.
Yeah.
He's a kid.
More expected of you at a younger age these days, though.
Well,
it seems to be than when you guys played.
But there is, but you've got to take everything. I don't think supporters look at everything. They just want to see you in the... But it takes a lot to him to be in a club the size of Liverpool and the pressure that goes with it. It takes him a little bit longer.
Right. Robbie's next up. Evening, Rob.
Hi, Steve. Hi, lads.
Hi, Robbie.
It's not Robbie Mignolet, by the way.
It is on our screens.
Steve, just to think, no, Klopp's getting a bit of stick for last night, isn't he? The substitutions he made and that.
Mm-hmm.
But he also gets a lot of stick for having no plan B, doesn't he? So was that his plan B last night? And it didn't work, obviously, did it, because we conceded the late goal. But I personally, myself, I said it to Aldo the other week, why did he throw Moreno off for a bit of pace down the flank?
Well, he don't trust Moreno, does he? That's the first thing. But, you know, what about when Thingy Arnold came on at the weekend?
Yeah, exactly. He was on the right.
I just think, you know, I just think once you suddenly go, come on, we'll play three at the back now against Bournemouth at home and you're 2-1 up and there's, 10, 15 minutes to go, you're almost saying you're now protecting your lead, which is, I just thought it was a very un-Klopp-like thing to do. And as I said, if you surrender the ball in midfield, you know, there's really, apart from Sunderland, there's no really, Middlesbrough, bad teams in the Premier League, and they will still, you know, they've still got players of ability. I just thought it was a strange thing to do. If you were listening just before, and Ronald Koeman basically trying to protect a 1-0 lead on Tuesday night, Manchester United, and the same kind of thing happened.
I just think Moreno, though, could have been a similar substitution for Coutinho, because Coutinho was playing wide left last night.
Yeah. And well, that's where he plays anyway, doesn't he? He comes in and joins in. But
Moreno is, he's balancing the team. He's got a left foot, hasn't he? Bit of balance, because Milner was having to come inside all the time, wasn't he?
Yeah. No, I think it's a good point, actually. I think it's a good point.
He's not been blacklisted completely, has he, Alberto Moreno?
He's on the bench.
So he must be in the frame for some football, mustn't he?
You might say, Steve, there's no one else. To be honest with you, because he sold the kid Smith, didn't he? He sold him at the start of the season. Moreno will go back to Spain and he'll be a decent left-back in La Liga because none of them defend.
He's a wing-back at best, isn't he?
Yeah, absolutely.
He's like a poor man, John Arisa, really.
I'll leave that one with you.
I'll tell you what, Robbie, we were talking about players who've shown consistency off air. I said to Laura, I thought Gini Wijnaldum for the last few months has been excellent.
Yeah.
Don't know what you've made of it. Him and Lucas when he's managed to play.
Yeah, Lucas has been great back in the centre midfield. And Wijnaldum, I think everyone's jury was out in the starting. We all thought he was another number 10, didn't we? And he's actually a lot better than what I think a lot of Liverpool fans thought. And you can see that last night when he gave that ball away for that goal. He was devastated. The fellow was absolutely devastated, wasn't he? And he tried another 50% more to get the result for Liverpool, didn't he?
Yeah, he's done well. I mean, the accusation at Newcastle was he didn't play away from home.
Yeah, but
he certainly played far better for Liverpool away from home than he has done for Newcastle.
But that one goal he has to score the week more in the Premier League, he might just tip it up on them four games we've got left, which could be the difference between us getting in the Champions League and the Europa League.
And he's one of our better players at the moment.
Yeah.
You've done well.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Robbie, nice stuff. Thank you very much, pal.
Cheers.
Take care. Right, so next game's on the horizon. Liverpool and Everton. Mm. Everton, I'll tell you what, Leicester.
Leicester are bombing. Which is amazing. Yeah, absolutely amazing. From Ranieri, how it all changes. Bring this guy in. has he done enough to get the job, or will they go and get somebody else in the summer? Over to you.
It'd be harsh not to give him the job.
Yeah.
All he's done, he's just gone back to the way they were.
Yeah.
And why wouldn't you? They won the league. Mm-hmm. And he's, all right, one or two different players in terms of personnel, but suddenly he's got Vardy playing. Mm. Once you get Vardy playing and scoring and bringing the team on, made a massive difference. And is it Ntidi looks a player?
Yeah.
As well. They're now turned into a good side. Mm. They'll finish in the top half.
They're a threat.
Completely different side. And Liverpool hate playing at Stoke.
Everybody hates playing at Stoke, Steve.
It's just not a Wednesday night.
Used to hate commentating at Stoke.
Wednesday night in February is not good. It'll still be freezing cold. The thing is, Stoke have lost the last three, haven't they? Lost the last home game home to Chelsea and lost two away games, and he'll have them at it, Mark Hughes. They will be steaming into Liverpool. Absolutely no danger. I don't think they've got better quality in terms of midfield and going forward, but just at the moment, they just seem to completely lost the way. But it's a horrible fixture for Liverpool.
Liverpool win that.
Yeah,
you think they will?
I hope you're right.
Well, in sort of bounce back mentality.
I just think they will. I think, as Mark says, they're struggling a little bit, big time. Yeah, they've got some good players, but I just think Liverpool.
I tell you, who's looked a very poor player for them? Shawcross.
Arnautovic, if he plays, I don't know if he's fit or not.
He can
be a threat on the day.
But he's another one. Yeah, the hot
he can
cold.
Lose his head, yeah.
Yeah, he's like if it's tails, I'm brilliant. If it's heads, I'm not.
Okay. Well, fortunately, you've not had many good predictions about Liverpool this season, Sharp, because every time you tell me something, it's wrong. So.
Well, that's a prank. Keep
telling actually, you said Liverpool are going to win. Oh, no, that's not good. That's not good. Boys, thank you very much indeed. Lauro Sharpie, super stuff. The Radio City Legends returns on Monday night at 6:30. Join me for breakfast on Radio City Talk from 7 a.m. tomorrow morning, including Fan Friday. Catch you then.
The Legends with 888 Sport. Whatever your sport, take them on. Bet now. Gamble responsibly.